Good afternoon again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMZ's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. With us is Jeff Herman, the publisher and author of Guide to Book Publishers, Editors, and Literary Agents 2013. Who they are, what they want, how to win them over. I highly recommend Herman's Guide. This is a quote. It was the most helpful book I bought on how to get published. Nicholas Sparks, New York Times best-selling author, right on the front cover. There's only one problem. He's not here yet. And this is what I live for here at WAMC. I got to tell you, how old am I? I'm, 72. I've been here for, 40 years or so?
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, this is the first time.
No way.
Yeah, way.
First time?
This is the first time. This is way. You say no way, I say way. Okay, I'm going to read this thing here that they handed me.
Right.
Joining me this afternoon may be about writing and book publishing, Jeff Herman. Jeff runs the Jeff Herman Agency in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, and founded the popular Writers, Agents, Editors Network online. He's a veteran literary agent and author with expertise in popular business. I'll bet he went to the Linda. Spirituality and adult nonfiction. His own works include Jeff Herman's Guide to Publishers, Editors, and Literary Agents, and Write the Perfect Book Proposal. He also helped make When Bad Things Happen to Good People a bestseller in the 1980s. I remember that.
Sure.
Got a question about your writing, how to get it published? Well, you could ask me. Ray Graff is sitting here with me. You could ask him.
Absolutely.
But then what do we know about
it? Not much.
I've written two major books. The first is, the Strengthening the Wisconsin Legislature.
Huge bestseller.
A huge bestseller. Yeah. Back in the day. And recently, me and Mario, a few extra copies around.
Sure.
If somebody wants to get them. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wmc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page. You can do that.
Sure.
Facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at VoxPop@WAMC.org. Again, the name of the book is Jeff Herman's Guide to Book Publishers, Editors. A big fat book.
What a book it is. It's huge.
It's a big fat book.
Yeah, I believe it's done some 20 editions now.
Literary Agents. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, and 2013, it's every year I think they put out.
Right. Goes back some 20 years.
Who they are, exclamation point. What they want, exclamation point.
Yeah.
How to win them over, exclamation point. Okay, and again, in case you didn't hear it, I'm going to read the quotation. I highly recommend Herman's Guide. It was the most helpful book I bought about how to get published. Nicholas Sparks, New York Times best-selling author. Does it get better than that? Okay, listen to this. Here's some more testimonials.
Okay.
I got my agent by using Jeff Herman's Guide. Meg Cabot, New York Times best-selling author. Another one. Nothing beats Jeff Herman's Guide. Jack Canfield, co-author Chicken Soup for the Soul series. And Jeff Herman's Guide is everything you need to know for getting started. Cheryl Richardson, New York Times best-selling author. And Herman,
good thing you didn't write a triptych.
And Herman's Guide remains the Rosetta Stone of writerly success. James Broderick, PhD, bookpleasures.com, and more. There's much more, but I'm not going to read them now because I got a dirty letter from saying that we say too much about the authors.
I'd like to meet this guy, Jeff
Herman. I'd like
to
meet him, too.
It'd be nice if he showed up.
I'm sure he's coming. Let's take our first call from Jamie.
Jamie. Okay. Go ahead. Sure.
Jamie and Clifton Park.
Why not?
Hi, Jamie. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I look forward to for Herman's arrival as well.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But I'm sure you all can field my questions.
Sure. We can answer any question.
I've got
about
the book right here.
We can answer any question about any subject,
right,
whether we know about it or not. Okay, so go ahead. Tell us.
Wait. You can field any question.
Yeah, sure.
So how big is the world? How many miles around is the world?
Oh, it's big. It's really big.
24,000. I have no idea.
It's really big.
I think it's a little bit less than 24,000. All right. So I'll cut to the chase. Up until Monday, I was fully employed as a congressional candidate for the 21st Congressional District of New York.
Okay.
I quit, so now I have all this free time on my hands, and I was looking for guidance and advice as to how to best you know, put together my writing of the past.
Well, first of all, let's explore that in some depth. What writings?
Will it be a memoir? Biography?
They're all doing that now.
Yeah.
A self-help book?
You know, I've been writing since I was, you know, 16 or 17. And when I was 18 or 19, I wrote a Facebook post about celebrities, you know. Thank you, drunken celebrities. I mentioned Paris Hilton. I threw it up on Facebook. You know, didn't get too much about it. Then come, you know, Thanksgiving, I went home and I went to the local pub where everybody, you know, from my high school goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And the kid who was, you know, great ahead of me, who I looked up to, you know, really popular guy, came up to me and was like, dude, I read your thing about celebrities, and I was crying. I was laughing so hard at work.
Oh, so it's a comedy book.
People were, you know, asking me what's going on, and it meant so much to me, and that was almost 10 years ago.
All right, well, I'll find you a publisher here. Give me a moment.
Well, before you do, Ray, we need to explore further with Jamie about this. So you've never actually had a book published, right?
That is correct, sir.
Okay, and now you want to get a book published, and what will be in the book again? Will you remind me?
Yeah, anything ranging from banging around with drug dealers in Guatemala, thanks to my fluency in Spanish and desire to understand the drug trade, to my memoirs from Afghanistan, from which time I was a Marine from 2008 to 2012.
Wow.
In that time, it's not necessarily about Afghanistan, but in that time, I was able to sit down and write my funny, you know, anecdotes and, you know, kind of stories that would help cheer and pep me up and hopefully send that out to friends and family.
You did that.
12,000 miles away.
So you have all that stuff, right? You have all that stuff.
Correct. Yeah, I have it all, you know, and then, you know, I have that all. But I need to compile it in a terse manner so that, you know, when I do come to a publisher, you know, they can look at it and say, okay, this is good. Let's do some editing.
Sure. What you need first is you really do need
an agent.
Agent.
Yeah, that's
thanks.
Good.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
I was sure Jeff Herman was here. He could help you find
an
agent.
No, but this book has all the agents in it.
Well, this book, as a matter of fact, this is called The Guide to Book Publishers, Editors, and Literary Agents. It's got all sorts of interesting links to agents.
Where can I pick up a copy? At Barnes & Noble?
Well, gosh, I mean, maybe Amazon
or something like that.
I don't know. You got to look.
But it's huge. Did you look up in the rear? Did you look up Guatemala drug dealers?
No, that would be adult nonfiction.
Oh, that's adult nonfiction.
I would think so. I think these are truth based. Okay, and this is a question we got via email. Is it possible that today's guest was on the Malaysian airline flight? That's from Eileen.
No, it wasn't.
I don't know. It's too soon, Eileen.
No.
I don't know. Where am I really calling you all from?
Now that's an interesting...
Porque yo puedo hablar español fluente.
Oh, my goodness.
Es posible que no pueden encontrarme.
Is that drug dealer language?
I don't know.
No.
I had a drug dealer tell me he was going to kill me at a crowded bar. The next day, I offered him a cigarette, and we were best friends for that night.
Well, that's a good story.
So it was an anecdote of, you know, going from sheer terror to pure love because we became best friends.
Jamie, you got us off on a good
start.
Yeah, this
was a great start.
And we thank you very much, and good luck on writing this thing. And if he shows up, give us another call.
Yeah, paging right. Jeff Herman.
It's already written. I just need to compile it.
You need an agent. I know that.
Yes.
And you can always self-publish, but I don't approve of that.
You don't? Why?
No, because I think there are a billion self-published
books. That's the way things are going.
Exactly.
If Jeff Herman was here, I would ask him, I would say, in this changing paradigm, where people can self-publish and you can buy and sell books at the click of a mouse, has it changed the game, Jeff?
Yeah.
And he would say, I'm not here.
I really go for those campaign and that, you know, it didn't pan out. So I want to go for the big boys. I want to go for Shimon.
No. You want to go for the. Did you ever play Hearts? Because in the game of Hearts,
when you
go for the whole thing, it's called shoot the moon. Yeah, you want to shoot the moon.
All right.
Hey, Jamie, got to let you go. Thanks for
great call, Jamie. Well, that was fun.
That was good.
All right.
Let's go. No, let's take a break right now. We'll take a break. Okay.
Thank you. Support for WMC comes from United Way of the Greater Capital Region, Albany. Working to create opportunities in education, financial stability, and health in the community, live united, give, advocate, volunteer. UnitedWayGCR.org. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York. A Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, plus collectibles and curiosities, open 7 days a week. YeOldWarwickBookshop.com. The Research Foundation for SUNY, working to translate SUNY research into invention, entrepreneurship, economic growth, and public benefit, rfsuny.org. And the Linda, presenting Food for Thought, God Loves Uganda, Thursday, March 20th, 7 p.m., thelinda.org.
Well, that's nice music, isn't it? Buddy Rich?
It's Buddy Rich and the big band from his album Stick It.
Oh, is it?
Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey. Very nice.
Terrific.
Early 70s.
That's nice.
Lovely.
That's very nice. But that's not what we're here for today. We are here to talk to Jeff Herman, who's the guide to book publishers, editors, and literary
agents. Where is Jeff?
Well, he hasn't shown up yet, but he'll be here soon.
He's a famed author of travel.
Have you ever heard of Waiting for Godot?
Yes.
Well, this is Waiting for Jeff Herman.
Waiting for Jeff Herman. Okay. He'll be here, though, folks.
All these years. First time. First time I've been sitting here caught.
Now, remember, he did call. He said he's moments away. That was before the show.
Before the show, he said.
Technically, it is still moments. So, you know.
Well, it depends what you mean by
moments. He's here. He's in the house.
Oh, he's here in the house.
Jeff Herman's in the house.
Oh, poor guy.
This is exciting.
No, stay here. Stay here.
Jeff Herman's
here,
ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, Jeff Herman is here. Have a seat, Jeff. Put those ear things on. Okay. Now, have you been listening to this?
I am now.
Okay. Let's go to Abigail in Kingston. Abigail in Kingston, you are getting to talk to the elusive Jeff Herman. He's here now in the flesh.
In the flesh. I am so glad I see flesh. Anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listen, the whole thing, publishing, copyright, internet, I mean, we have gone through a real amazing time. I've been writing just about all my life.
Uh-huh.
I've published a few things. I even self-published a little book about the death of my father called L'Chaim, and I've been in different publications. Anyway,
okay, getting to the question.
The question is... There is no question. I think it's a free-for-all, and I think it's marvelous.
Yeah.
And how do I get paid? I was editor of newspapers. I was, you know, so when do I get the check?
Well, okay, go right to Jeff now. Jeff, answer her very interesting and focused question.
All right. Was your book, are you talking specifically about a book that you published? When do you get paid for that?
No, she wants to monetize what she's done all her life, she said.
Always asked.
Okay,
well,
wait.
Go ahead.
Abigail, let's let Jeff talk now. He's finally here.
Always ask to see the money before you generate the product. And
No, but I think that I have a better answer. Abigail, I have a much better answer.
What?
First, write the book, then monetize it. But
you have to.
If you write it and you have a book. And if you have a book,
over and over, which is
Abigail. Come on.
I love you guys.
Okay.
Alan, you're doing a wonderful job. I love this morning's conversation.
Okay.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Okay, let's go to Tom in Woodbury. Tom in Woodbury, you're on 1-800-348-2551. The elusive but ubiquitous, Jeff Herman is here, and he's got this big book with him. It's huge, and it's very colorful. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, all. I hope this isn't too much of an aside, but I don't know. I wanted to throw this out there in the hope it might help some writers. I worked for an agent years ago. And she was licensed, and I was appalled by the way people would send her manuscripts, and they would be tossed in the corner, just a stack of them, and they would be sent a bill for doing something, I don't know what, editing, or, and she spent most of her day on the phone demanding money from people for things she never provided, and when they would call up, then she would hit them with an editing bill. And if they demanded their manuscript back, she'd hit them with a storage fee.
Okay. It sounds like a pretty unscrupulous
person. Anyway, she got a license, and I kept thinking, how does this woman wind up with a license?
Okay.
Okay, here we go to Jeff Herman
and
now.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, first of all, there is no such thing as a license for a literary agent, except for perhaps the state of California, where these things are more regulated. So I don't know what it means that she had a license, because there is no license.
Driver's license.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe she was incorporated. What you're talking about is a scam artist, and they will be found in any industry, including the funeral industry, any industry. What she was doing has nothing to do with being a legitimate literary agency, because a legitimate literary agency, same as a legitimate publisher, does not ask you for money. They make money for you.
But you need an agent, right? Agents are very important. Okay.
Yeah. You do not necessarily need an agent. Okay. Now, most of the large publishing companies have a so-called policy that they will not even accept your manuscript. They won't even look at it. They won't even open up the envelope if you are unagented or unsolicited. And the reason is they do not have in-house infrastructure for actually screening what the public is writing. There's too much being written.
Yeah.
So they rely upon the bona fide literary agents to, in effect, do the screening for them, because a legitimate agent is only as good as the product that he or she is pitching to the publishers.
Well, how does an agent get to become a legitimate agent?
You just decide that you are, and then you could become an agent tomorrow, but then you need to make sure that you have access.
The context.
Yeah, you have to make sure you have access to quality manuscripts, quality writers.
Which, let me interrupt for a second now, Jeff, which means, of course, that you can't take schlemiels. In other words, you have to take good stuff in order to sell it and to have your credibility with the publishers, right?
Correct. If a so-called agent is basically submitting work that is subpar, that agent will either never get access or will quickly burn out whatever access he or she has.
What's to protect a writer from finding this out? Once
an agent, a so-called agent, starts asking you for money, as opposed to just the ability, you know, the privilege of
right
reading
there.
Your material, that's probably an illegitimate agent, because an agent should only make his or her living vis-a-vis the writer from the commission. If I represent you and I get you a $100,000 advance at Random House, 15% of that is legitimately mine. If I represent you and I can't get you an advance anywhere, then I have lost my time, but you have not lost anything.
Good.
Okay, hey, Tom, we got to let you go. A lot of people calling.
Thank you.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. There are some free phones. To Anita in Johnstown. Okay, Anita, you're on with Jeff Herman. Go ahead, Anita.
Yes, hi, Jeff. Hi. Jeff, I write a newspaper column for the local newspaper. I've been doing it for about 6 or 7 years.
Great. What's the name of the newspaper?
It's the Leader Herald.
Okay, go ahead.
And my article is called Anita a la Carte. I taught a restaurant program for 25 years, so I write about anything food, nutrition, mostly restaurants. I consider myself a restaurant advocate, but I would like to turn it into a book. My question is, do I bring all of the columns to an agent and say, what theme do I take here?
Okay, Jeff's got it now. Go ahead, Jeff.
There is a process in nonfiction publishing called the book proposal. See, in fiction, you're expected to actually have the manuscript in order to be assessed. In nonfiction, you don't have to have the manuscript. All you need maybe is one sample chapter and what's known as a book proposal, which is like a business plan wherein you will explain what your book is going to be. You will explain your vision. You will explain who you are. You will explain who you believe is the market. You will explain how promotable the book is. And you will explain your ability to be promoting it, which is known as a platform, the author platform. And in this is a so-called chapter outline where you show how the book is going to be organized and you give samples for each of the chapters, just like 5% of what the chapter would actually be when it's a manuscript. Do you understand?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay, but what if Anita wants to self-publish? Are you for or opposed to self-publishing?
I am for self-publishing if the writer understands what the responsibilities of self-publishing are, what the obligations.
Why don't you go ahead with that?
Okay, because as a self-publisher, you are not going to have access to traditional distribution. even though someone might tell you you do theoretically. Sure. In fact, you won't. Now, when I say traditional distribution, I mean like Barnes & Noble and then all the mom and pops and Books a Million. Anyone could be on Amazon. That's okay. So without that distribution, you're going to basically have to find a way for people to know that your book exists.
Yeah, come on, Vox Pop.
Yeah, right. You could could do local publicity. The other thing as a local, as a self-publisher, is you want to avoid, again, scams. Because no matter how smart you are, you're also going to be very eager and very hungry. And you're also not really going to know the business. So the first, you're going to see lots of ads about how we will self-publish your book for you. We will do everything. We will sell it for you.
Yeah.
And people put out thousands and thousands of dollars for services that they really don't need and very often are quite bogus.
So let me ask you a question, Jeff, if I may, and Anita, I hope you don't mind butting in here. You know, I sit at my desk and Joe Donahue gets, you know, I can't tell you how many books he gets every day. I can't tell you how many books I get every day. Some of them have publishers, real publishers. Many of them, I don't know how to say this, but stink. So that nobody would possibly...
The real publisher ones stink.
Nobody would possibly buy them. I mean, they're really bad. How come so many publishers publish bad books?
Because it's human error. And they, obviously, they had a reason to think that it was good or that it was commercially good. Publishing today is very corporate. So the editors are under a lot of pressure to respect the bottom line. So if a particular writer or author who's never written before comes in and says, look, I have a great platform. I have a great website. I have a great company. I'm going to write a check and buy the first 10,000 copies you're going to publish. There's going to be a lot of pressure to make the quality secondary to the marketing.
Interesting. Do many people do that, sort of bribe their way in?
In nonfiction, it's more common than you would know. Yes. I mean, it's not said. That's why we're doing it.
Okay, but if Anita wants to find an agent, how should she do it?
Okay.
Right.
The first thing you should do is find out who the agents are. So there's lots of ways to do that. I do a book on it.
It's huge, by the way, Anita. It's a huge and beautifully laid out book.
Thank you.
Jeff Herman's Guide to Book Publishers, Editors, and Literary.
Yes, I'll get it.
Okay.
My question mainly is that I have, 300-400 columns, and I want to know how to put those together the most interesting.
Okay,
you
need to figure out, you need to show, take the lead there and have the vision for your book and why it's a great, see, you have to sell it to an agent, okay?
Okay, I have to sell that to the
right,
agent.
It's not like you can
I want the agent to help me, but
right,
I guess
well, the agent will help you if they see something, but first they have to see it. And you're going to have to see it before the agent does. You can't just walk in to a busy agent or publisher and give them a data dump. Say, here's my 500 columns, tell me what to do. They're not going to do that unless they have a vision.
So how do I find an agent?
No, how do you find a vision?
you just said I had to figure that out.
Well, no, but Anita, that's what's so interesting about your call. I mean, I've written for 40 years two columns a week. So I have all of them. But, you would have to, it seems to me, be able to figure out why somebody sitting on the other end buying the book would find what you have written in the past interesting. So now if you say... I mean, just giving you my off the top of the head advice. What if you were to say, the story of a newspaper column writer and how you got into trouble over various columns and what people said to you, and that might be interesting, Jeff.
Well, anything could be interesting if it's a story well told,
right?
And I'm telling you that from experience. Yeah. And the writer really the selling has to begin with the writer. You can't walk in apologizing when you're pitching a product. And you have to understand that, like in any other business, you have to believe it first so that you can make other people believe it. And that's where the contagion comes in.
Are you an agent?
Yes, I'm a full-time literary agent.
And can you give us some more stories about people who came in and you said from the first minute, oh, my God, this is going to be terrible. I mean, what happens when you want to let them down easily? They truly believe their stuff is good, but it's not.
It, you know, the biggest mistakes are they come in, for instance, I'll have people all the time telling me how they've been rejected 1,000 times already.
Right. Yeah. That's not a good thing.
I mean, that's kind of like, you know, are you going to buy a car that nobody else wants to buy? The other mistake is they really lack focus themselves, again, on what it is that they have and what it is that they want to accomplish. And so what they there's probably something there that really could work, but they haven't gotten there yet. And
you haven't got the time to tell them what to,
right.
I mean,
to now, do. Right. Now, sometimes I will see it. Somebody will sometimes come to me with something that's one thing, and then I'll say, you know, that I don't think is it. But what if we move this over here and call it this and make this the emphasis?
But everybody calls me and they said, do you know anybody who can be an agent for me? Because I can't find an agent.
Well, you can find agents. The problem is hooking up with an agent.
What do you mean?
Getting an agent to represent you. I mean, there are, 200 to 300 bona fide active literary agents
in the
country.
In the country.
That's
not a lot. We got 300 million people.
No.
Every one of whom has written a book.
And most of them are mom and pops.
Yeah.
And making very autonomous decisions. Now, any successful writer is going to have a trail of rejection. Okay, you name any successful writer, and I'm not talking about celebrity kids or something like that.
No.
Legacies. And they have been rejected by many agents, and they've been rejected by many publishers. And the reason is it's a very subjective business. There are many projects that I have let get out of my hands for one reason or another that went on to literally make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And, it's good for me. It keeps me human to be reminded, that I'm an idiot. And you just have to understand that we're all partial idiots.
Well, as you know, as you probably don't know, I have a second cousin, Erica Jung, who I read somewhere had submitted Fear of Flying to an awful lot of people before it got published.
And they may have thought it had something to do with travel, and didn't even get beyond the title.
Yeah.
But, for instance, when I was first starting out as an agent in my 20s, because I didn't know any better. I was in my 20s. And I was approached by a guy named Jack Canfield, who was not famous at the time, and he wanted to do a
book.
He's
in your book. He's on the back.
He had this idea for Chicken Soup for the Soul. It was going to compile all these essays from mostly very obscure people about how they overcame adversity. And I thought it was a great idea, So he got me as his agent. And we went and showed it to, at that time, there were a lot of publishers in New York, independent houses. We must have had 30 meetings.
Did you send it out to more than one at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because that's the only way to speed up the process and maybe get a competitive situation. In this case, it didn't matter. Everybody rejected it. They all said, the big houses were snobs about it. I mean, they said things like, why is a PhD from Harvard, want to write something that's so lowbrow?
Well, how did you get it done?
Well, so after I couldn't get it published, he had a relationship with a small self-help publisher in Florida that nobody had ever heard of. And they offered him like a nominal three-figure advance.
$350?
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, he said, do you want to be my agent on this? And I said, I'm going to take care of the contract for you for free. And, there's really nothing. And at that point in my mind, I was done. I was through.
Sure.
So I helped him with the contract. That particular book with this no-name publisher went on to sell, I don't know, I think now it's on its 7 millionth copy.
Wow.
Chicken Soup for the Soul, the original one.
Did you get any part of that?
Well, I got into other books with him that he published, but no, the franchise happened without me. It just shows you that, he made it happen. It wasn't the publisher.
Hey, Anita, Anita, thank you for keeping us busy for a little while.
You
have to go
You're
on
welcome.
To Kathy from Sorgatys.
Thank you. I'm moving on. It sounds great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kathy from Sorgatys. Kathy from Sorgatys, you're on.
Yes, hi. I wrote a children's book, and I just have no idea where to start to get it published. But I'm kind of gathering information right now with these agents and all. But
okay.
Now, I just don't know what to do.
Okay, there are agents who specialize in children's books.
Okay.
And what you will want to do is, you know, of course, we talked about Yours Truly reference, but what you can also do is go to your bookstore and look at recent children's books that are similar to yours. And smart writers will always acknowledge their agents. Smart writers are always in the acknowledgement section. So that's how you get the names of bona fide agents who specialize in children's books. And then you just Google them and you find their address and you could pitch them. Basically by, you know, sending them the book. But also, many book publishers with children's programs, and there are many, do not require agency representation as much as the adult divisions do.
Okay.
And then in that case, basically, you just go and see if the editor has been acknowledged in these books. And then what you do is you just find their address at, you know, whether it's Penguin USA or Simon & Schuster or a publisher that you haven't heard of, because there's many good ones that you probably haven't heard of, and go ahead and pitch the editors directly. And you just have to be willing to do that, and you have to be willing to take the pain and the frustration of rejection.
Yeah.
Right.
That's absolutely true. I wonder how many people have novels in their drawer that they just. I wrote a Western about a man named Moses Cohen, and I kept it in my drawer, and it was. I really liked the book, but.
I hope so.
But no, but I really liked it, and I thought it was very good, and I never quite finished it, and then out came the San Francisco Kid or whatever that movie was.
Right, Frisco Kid.
Frisco Kid, along the same lines.
Mm-hmm.
But then that was it.
Well, first of all, you probably could have sued, but no, I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No. I mean, it never got out of the drawer, but that's right, Jeff. But I have to tell you, I bet that a lot of Americans have novels in their drawers.
Oh, yeah. People will have the nerve, the chutzpah, the guts to write the novel, but then they just they do not have the perseverance, the tenacity to take the pain quota of being rejected.
Okay, listen, I'm so sorry, Kathy. We have got to take, but I thought there were two great ideas Jeff just gave you. Go to those acknowledgement section. Thanks so much, Kathy. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
Now we are going to take a short break, thanks to Zach the engineer, and we'll be right back with the elusive Jeff Herman.
Support for WAMC comes from Lori Stillwell, CPA, PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond, stillwellcpa.com. Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including assisted living and more, caring in the family tradition, 518-393-8800. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting all-girl pop rockers Betty Up in the Club on March 22nd, and Phish bassist Mike Gordon in concert April 5th, massmocha.org. And Eagle Hill School, Hardwick, Massachusetts, a college prep boarding and day school for students with learning disabilities and ADD, featuring a five-week summer session, ehs1.org for info.
Thank you, Zachary. It's wonderful to have you here. Nice sweater you're wearing today. Yeah, very nice. Okay. And we are here with Jeff Herman, and his book is Guide to Book Publishers, Editors, and Literary Agents 2013, Who They Are, What They Want, How to Win Them Over. And as you can hear, you're hearing some pretty good ideas. I love that idea about going to a successful book in the same genre that you are, looking in the acknowledgments page, seeing who the editors or who the agents are, and going to them. That's a great idea. Let's go to Keith in Rhinebeck. Okay, Keith, 1-800-348-2551.
Yes.
Go ahead, Keith.
Thank you very much, Alan, and thank you. Is it Mr. Herman?
Correct.
Right.
Yes. Listen,
Jeffer.
Let me just, I'm chewing a Humintosh right now, so let me get rid of that. Now,
yes.
Listen.
Spit that out.
Yes, it's an apricot Humintosh.
That's irrelevant. Go ahead.
It's irrelevant, yes. I want to know from the gentleman the legality of publishing a book on the subject of eating your way through Manhattan for free. Now, places like Food Emporium, they put out a nice spread, you know what I'm saying, on the counter, and you can have lunch there. places like Agatha and Valentina put out a nice spread.
All right, so your idea.
Okay, we got the idea.
So your idea for a book basically is how to freeload your eating through Manhattan.
Yes. All right. On the east side, not on the west side. I don't like the west side.
Okay. I don't know that it's a whole. I don't know that that's a whole book, but that certainly sounds like a really good article for somebody. You know, one of the weeklies or something. In like it could even be a weekly column. You know, where to freeload this week in New York. You know. And not just for food, you know, maybe, you know, another column could be, you know, where to urinate in Manhattan in the middle of, in Midtown in the middle of the day.
Well,
I mean,
I know the spots to urinate. That's
okay. Okay. Let's move on. Go ahead.
Oh,
are we finished?
Well, we're finished if we're going to continue on that theme. Go ahead.
I thought the book would be something like Abby Hoffman's Steal This Book.
Right.
You're
right.
Play on words, but actually, I'm having a nice meal at the food emporium right now. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah. Goodbye, Keith. So long. Okay. That was a little too close to the line. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Okay, we'll go to David in Troy. David, you're on.
Howdy. I would like to ask your guest to enlarge a little bit about the idea of self-publishing versus the traditional route. I understand it takes a great deal of personal commitment as well as a layout of cash ahead of time to self-publish. But I also wonder about the balance between the time it takes to find a publisher and an agent, et cetera, versus the idea of self-publishing, which I'm told upon occasion, often, maybe not often, but upon occasion, some of the publishers, the large publishing houses, will consider publishing a book that has been self-published if it's done in a very professional
way. First of all, the reality is the typical literary agent is only representing much less than 1% of the opportunities that cross his or her desk. Mm-hmm. But we're not all in lockstep. I mean, there's stuff that I reject that other agents very eagerly represent. And the same thing is true with publishers. So out of every manuscript that gets traditionally published at a given moment, there are more than 1,000 manuscripts you can assume that are chasing that opportunity. It's like a giant food riot, okay, in a, you know, in a fourth world country. There's only so many opportunities versus the number of people who want that opportunity. So self-publishing gives you a bypass because quality is not necessarily the only reason why some books get published. There are many excellent manuscripts that will not get published only because they didn't manage to get access to the powers that be. Okay? It just didn't, the symmetry just didn't work out for whatever reason.
Yeah, but your point, let's state it with the self-publishing for a moment,
yes.
Jeff. David's very good question is, should he self-publish?
Well, self-publishing makes it happen. And yes, publish agents, I often represent books that were initially self-published. There's no problem with that. And publishers will often traditionally publish a book that was originally self-published.
But Jeff, there are scoundrels out there. I know a few of them. who try to make money off of the self-publishing.
And self-publishing actually doesn't have to cost you anything.
Not a lot of money.
It doesn't have to cost you anything.
Well, I'm a pretty conscientious researcher.
Yeah, first
so
of all,
I'm aware of the books out there and the websites. But the other two questions, and then I'll listen to your answer, is one of the pluses, obviously, of self-publishing is that one, essentially, other than the literal costs, realizes 100% of the profits versus a relatively small percentage by the larger publishing houses. The other thing
if
is one has control over the look of the book, the layout, the typeface, the title, et cetera.
Yeah, so but what about distribution, David? Jeff raised the whole issue of distribution.
I understand that. As someone who used to be in marketing and who has read a lot of self-published books and books published by the large houses.
Well, that's the downside.
And people who have done it, but there's also an extraordinary amount of time that's necessary to find an agent, to find a publisher, to get a book printed.
Look,
and even if it's accepted, it could be a year or two years before it sees print.
There are no easy ways to get your book published. Okay, we're not saying that there is.
But have a
but
track record.
I am a fan of self-publishing because it's very democratic and anyone can do it. And now with digital publishing, if you're only going to make your book available as a download and maybe print on demand, then you don't have to create an inventory.
Right.
You understand? All you have to do is put your book into a Word document. You may want to hire a professional editor for a reasonable price to go through it.
That's the issue. That's the point I'm at now. I've got an almost finished manuscript, and editors charge a lot of money per hour. But
for a couple of $1,000s, you can get a unemployed New York City book editor or a retired bona fide New York City book editor who has edited literal bestsellers who's now working as a freelancer.
Do you help people do that,
Yes,
Jeff?
Yes. Okay. And that I do as a
final thought, I'm not really interested in trying to make a lot of money, but I think I have a book that is viable and it has a market. And
if you market
I don't have
it,
the resources
if you,
right now to publish it, but I know I could promote it on my own if I can make the decision and get the resources to have it properly edited and published.
It won't probably be available in bookstores outside of where you live, okay, because you went and hand-sold it.
And then there's the online thing, which is a whole different world and a whole different
But that's story. Where a lot of self-publishers are succeeding now is in online sales.
Okay,
thanks very much. David, I look forward to reading your book.
David, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Bordet in Kingston. Okay, you're up.
Hi. Go ahead. Okay. I have published self-published a book.
Yep.
In the past, Love United Romantic Interfaith Weddings, and did all that. But my question is really pertinent to the woman who was you were talking about children's books.
Yeah.
And I want to know if a children's book needs an illustrator.
If it does,
so
yes.
I don't want to illustrate my stories. Mm-hmm. I do have dolls, but I don't want to photograph the dolls. So if I went to a publisher, is it automatic that they would then find an illustrator?
Right. If you're going the traditional publishing route, they would actually not want you to bring an illustrator or be the illustrator, unless you were a bona fide, excellent illustrator. What they would do is they would, if they liked your story or your book, they would contract with you to publish your text, and then they would make a separate arrangement with one of their favorite illustrators.
Okay, that's a good answer. Now, we just heard over the internet from Julie, who says, could a self-published coffee table style book, the content of which is largely photographs, serve as a book proposal?
Sure. I mean, a book proposal is anything that's understandable and that shows the book. You can have a complete manuscript, it's as long as it shows what the book is. And then, of course, you need to also show who you are as an author, what your author platform is.
But if you are primarily an illustrator, Jeff,
yes,
then it may well be that that's what you're selling.
Right. And the production departments at children's book publishers and adult publishers that do illustrated books basically keep a roster of good illustrators who they could put there. It's usually not done in-house. They usually use contracted. It's outsourced.
But we're running out of time, so I want to thank you for your call. Thanks very much. I want to try to get
I just ask, do you have any choice as an author in that choice of the illustrator?
That's negotiable, and it always comes down to, if you have an agent, you have a lot more choices because the agent sort of knows when to back off and when to run in, when to push back. So it's possible.
Thanks, Bordet.
Great show.
Thanks
great
a lot.
Show.
Appreciate it a lot. Let's go to Tom in Glens Falls. Okay, Tom, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Basically, I was wondering what the difference is if, let's say, I'm a soap maker, and there's a lot of demand for, I don't know, the kind of knowledge I have, and I've been asked about bookmaking, but is that a different animal from, say, the literary stuff that we've been talking about here?
Wait a minute. Okay, so what's
He's
the
a
question?
Soap maker. He wants to write a book about soap making.
Okay. There are publishers who specialize in craft or, you know, what I would call really special market books, which is what yours sounds like. And,
right, yeah, that's what I see looking on the shelves.
Right,
bookstores.
And what you
kind
would
of a different animal.
Right, so you would want to explore bookstores, but also just Amazon, because they have a huge database of, and you, it may be that it's too tight a market, too small a kind of publisher that an agent would be active with, because an agent lives on his or her 15%.
But think of all of those cookbooks, one after another, after another, after another. One wonders, who does it? I mean, I'm a pretty good cook. I never look at a cookbook. I mean, you know, what's the deal?
The market is great. And that's why there's always a lot of cookbooks, because there's always a lot of customers.
Everybody wants to eat, and everybody wants to wash their hands,
everyone,
Tom.
Everyone wants to cook. But there are publishers who could be appropriate for what you're talking about.
Okay. Tom, I'm sorry.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Tom. Let's go to Mike in Saratoga Springs. Mike, go.
Hey. Oh, hey. I'm calling about my father's self-published book. I tuned in a little late because I was busy putting it in the envelope.
That's all right. Jeff wasn't here for the first part of the show. Go ahead.
Okay, good. So just putting an envelope to Joe Donahue. But my question is it worth paying for reviews from, like, Kirkus or Forward?
In my opinion, those are discounted right away. You might as well just get relatives to write the reviews for you and just have them posted on Amazon. And so I could be wrong. I just know that you can pay a lot of money. And as an insider, I discount them, okay, because I know that you pay. And they never give a bad review because you're paying for it. I'm not an objective source of whether or not that's a way to go. Maybe to the consumer, they'll see Kirkus review and they'll think that means a lot. You know, so I have to be a little open-minded about that. But you have to look at the cost.
Hey, Mike, you must know somebody famous. 6 degrees of separation. Don't you have a cousin Murray who knows
everyone? I'm talking to somebody famous right now.
Oh, don't you know somebody? Yeah, right. Don't you know somebody? your cousin, you know, Bernie, who knows somebody who knows Emmy Lou Harris. That'd be a good reviewer.
We're working it. We're working it.
Sometimes you would be surprised how reachable so-called famous people are. All you have to do is ask. And if they like what you're asking them to do, they will comply. I have clients do that all the time, reach out to people who you think are unreachable, and they get really good endorsements.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the call.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Yeah. Let's go to Lisa in Albany. Lisa, you go.
Hi. I want to know earlier about the children's book. I wrote a children's book, and I did some research, and I did exactly what Jeff said without knowing. I went to the bookstore and compared it to a book, you know, somewhat like mine, and I got the editor or the agent's name and the Penguin and all that. And I also knew you didn't necessarily have to have an agent like the older book, so I just sent it off. But my problem was, you know, I know you had said this to the caller, you know, send it to him, you know. I did that, but, you know, I don't know if it got lost in the mail room. You know, like, how do I know they actually, you know, how do I know they, you know, did they ever see
it? Did you send
it?
All right. Did you send it to an actual name, a human name? Okay. Well, that's key. After that, it's possible that it got thrown out. It's possible that someone looked at it and didn't like it and then threw it out. It's possible 3 years from now, someone will look at it. Okay. Every publisher has a room that they call the slush room. And that's where they put everything that is unagented and unsolicited. And it sounds very cruel. And that's why you wouldn't just submit it to one publisher and then wait for the rest of your life.
Hey, Lisa, I got to tell you, I'm not a publisher, but there is not a day that we don't get lots of books in this place. I don't quite understand it all, but you never want to make anybody feel badly. That's the last thing you want to do. And I do try to get a line out to everybody.
At least a little something like, you stink, you know, here you go.
Yeah. You're not going to get that.
Yeah. They're not going to bother. That's what I wanted to make
Lisa,
sure.
Lisa, we're out of time, dear. I'm going to let you go. Thanks a lot. And the other Lisa, you got one sentence, at least the other Lisa. What's your sentence? Lisa? Well,
yes,
One sentence. Go ahead. We have no time.
Just a quick comment on my daughter loves to write, and she found a website called Wattpad, WATTPAD. She just wanted to test to see if people will be interested in her writing, and she got about 3,000 reads on a couple of chapters that she put up.
Terrific. That's a great idea,
great.
Lisa.
And it didn't cost anything, right?
Thank you, Lisa. We are out of time, everybody. I'm so sorry, but we did get everybody in. Jeff Herman, I can't tell you how gratified we are that you showed up. I know that you got lost, and we apologize for that. It's probably our fault for not giving you better instructions. We're just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the Digital Berkshire Eagle, an online newspaper for news and information of the Berkshires and beyond. Noinkyfingers.com, Spectrinate Theaters, Albany, New York, showing Hollywood, American independent, and foreign films, and presenting London's National Theater Series in HD and a digital sound. Open daily, Spectrum8.com. Ooh. Underground Railroad History Project, 13th Annual Conference, Slavery in the Underground Railroad, The Larger Context, The Lingering Legacy, April 11th through April 13th on Facebook. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Thanks to the wonderful Colleen O'Connell for answering the telephones. Our producers, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, it's Cars and Automobile Repair with Ray Graff and friends. Stay tuned now for a news update.